CVS recently announced it will limit opioid prescriptions to 7 days in an attempt to fight abuse. Are there other solutions to the raging opioid epidemic? At Seattle's Harborview Hospital, Tim Clark has been taking pain pills, opioids, because of debilitating and crippling neuropathic pain from the Guillain-Barré syndrome.
So why wouldn't I be depressed? But the opioids make it worse. And, you know, I get in a real funk. If I can cut back on them even a little bit, I seem to have a more positive attitude.
So he's trying to cut back with hypnosis to reprogram his brain. And the center is also using virtual reality simulators. So reporter Miles O'Brien tried one for himself. You might remember we spoke with Miles about losing his arm in an accident while reporting in Japan 3 years ago. Some heavy equipment fell on him. So he's no stranger to chronic and phantom pain. Miles is a science, technology, aviation, and space journalist. He reported this pain treatment story for the PBS NewsHour series on the opioid crisis. He joins us. And Miles, so nice to speak with you again.
Robin, it's a pleasure.
So talk first about what we're talking about here. You met people with tremendous pain.
Yeah, you know, I learned a little bit about the differentiation between acute and chronic pain, and it's a very important distinction. Acute pain is something that is all about survival for us. We stub our toe or something worse, and it's nature's way of telling you to stop doing that. You're going to get yourself in further trouble. Acute pain, by definition in the medical textbooks, lasts about 90 days. That's generally what the medical community would say it would take to heal most any part of the body that has been injured. After that 90-day period, we get into what is called chronic pain, and that is when it's more of a top-down situation. There's no sensory input coming from the body to the brain, but rather the brain is indicating there's pain with none of those inputs. And that is a really challenging problem for the medical community.
Right. That's worth repeating. Acute pain is tissue damage, the body sending the pain signal to the brain, we're hurt. Chronic pain is more often the brain sending the pain signal to the body. It may not be related to tissue pain. Talk about what opioids do to block those messages of pain.
Opioids are the best pain reliever that medicine can offer us. And the reason is they mimic what our body does. We have naturally occurring opioids in our body. We all know the term runner's high. Endorphins kick in after a run, kicks in the dopamine in our brain, which is the pleasure drug that our body creates, gives us a feeling of euphoria, and we become relaxed. Well, that's opioids in our system doing their work. We don't have enough capability within our system to manage acute pain in that manner. So by putting synthetic opioids in our body, we flood the system and we create an awful lot of dopamine and we address pain. But there's all kinds of consequences to that that are well documented, as
right.
You know.
Well, and you remind us of the history of opioid pain medication starting back in the Civil War. Morphine was used on soldiers, but they became addicted, so it fell out of favor. Then in 1980, there was a letter to the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine about a study that claimed a very small amount of opioid users actually became addicted. As you point out, this was not peer-reviewed, and yet this thinking took off because, of course, the pharmaceutical industry jumped on that. Talk about these virtual reality games that the creators are suggesting people might play while they're in pain. What are we picturing?
Well, so in this case, what they've developed at UW Medicine in Seattle at Harborview Medical Center is an immersive game. It's kind of a silly game called Snow World, but it's engrossing enough and yet simple. And once you're inside this virtual reality environment, you're determined to throw snowballs at penguins. That's what it is. And you get very focused and wrapped up in this game. And I talked to a burn victim. He had terrible second-degree burns over a good hunk of his body, a grease fire in a kitchen. And when they do the treatment of his wounds called debridement, it's a horribly painful technique that is used to treat burn victims, almost as painful as the burn itself. He takes opioids because that's such acute pain. But on top of it, they put him in this virtual reality world, and he's not communicating with his pain, engaged with his pain in the same way. It takes you to another place, quite literally.
Well, and this is someone, as you said, who has this acute pain now from having bandages changed. And we should be more clear that burn victims go through this horrible process where their raw burns are actually scrubbed. It has to happen. And it's excruciating. And this virtual reality game alleviated that pain. Let's listen.
I could tell that they were peeling off a bandage. And I remember actually thinking in my head, you know, this should hurt a bit more. But I was focused on the game because I was trying to shoot a penguin and not really worrying so much about them taking my dressing off.
A burn victim talking about wearing a virtual reality headset and playing a game while he's being treated. In the PBS series about the opioid crisis, America Addicted, reporter Miles O'Brien is with us. Now we come to you, Miles O'Brien. Here you are with chronic pain. It's been 3 years since you lost your arm, but also phantom pain. Describe that.
Well, phantom pain is a classic example of chronic pain, top-down pain. We can say absolutely empirically that my arm is missing. And so to say it's in pain doesn't make much sense, right? So clearly my brain has got something going on here. My brain has a disconnect. There's a lot of theories on why this happens, but the brain, for whatever reason, detects something missing and creates a pain response to it. So anyway, the idea was to put me in this snow world and test my reaction to an acute pain situation. They actually set it up with a little heater. They attach this thing to my wrist, and I get inside Snow World, and I start throwing snowballs, and they start dialing up the heat on my wrist. I didn't feel that a bit. But the most interesting thing to me and to the researcher who I was with was my phantom pain completely disappeared. And what I realized in that moment, and what was further explained to me by the researcher, Hunter Hoffman, is that pain needs an audience. If you're not there to receive it, there is no such thing as pain. This is why general anesthesia works. You're asleep. You don't feel pain. So if you're not engaged with it, if you're not focused on it in some way, it was remarkable to me how suddenly that was not a part of my existence, that pain.
So, Miles, this idea that it blocked not just the pain they were inflicting on you with this heat, which is coming into you, but they blocked the pain which is going out as a signal from your brain. It's a first.
The researcher had not experienced this. He hadn't tested for it either. Yeah. He has been focused on acute pain, bottom-up pain. But there I was. He was looking ostensibly at the issue of bottom-up pain, but I'm a guy who walks in with my own top-down problems. And sure enough, it affected it. And so it's a very promising area of research because on the one hand, this was a temporary thing. You know, the minute I came out of Snow World, I was back to my old self. However, the thinking is that over time, maybe you can rewire, for lack of a better term, the brain, teach it to think differently, teach it to address pain in a different way, and maybe address chronic pain in a different way. It's, you know, the important thing to remember is, you know, I think Americans, we look for a silver bullet solution. We want to take a pill and make it go away. And pain is something that you have to have a lot of tools in the toolbox. Sometimes it might be opioids. Sometimes it might be mindfulness therapy or hypnosis. And sometimes it might be Snow World.
And we want to make that clear that, you know, we always hear from people in terrible pain, you know, afraid that people are going to do away with opioids because of the crisis. But yeah, it sounds as if that's what needs to happen, to figure out a way to do what pain blockers, either the pills or this virtual reality, what they do, which is somehow trick your brain.
It's important that the medical community start thinking about this differently. You know, most doctors are not really trained to treat pain as an affliction itself. It's treated as a symptom of something else. Pain is an entity unto itself, and medicine needs to address that. And then, of course, you have a system where your doctor gets about 6 minutes with you. And how on earth is he going to really address the nuance of what we just discussed when it's a lot easier to hand out some script for, you know, some Vicodin and send the patient on his way? So the system needs to rethink this. It's happening now because of the crisis that we're dealing with. But it's very important that we think about pain and all its nuance, I think.
Well, Miles O'Brien, you have a lot of fans. And so just want to check in. How often do you have this phantom pain?
You know, Rob and I live with it every day, and it waxes and wanes throughout the day. I always have the phantom sensation of the arm, and sometimes it's bothersome and sometimes it's not. And frankly, the times that it bothers me is when I'm just sitting on an airplane, as I do a lot, and I'm not focused on something else. But if I'm engaged in what I love to do, my work, or I'm out on a bike ride having fun or a run, it goes away. So that just further buttresses the point that it is a little bit about focus, about giving it an audience. And I'm doing my best to ignore it along the way, but sometimes it's unavoidable.
How much did you want to take that virtual reality mask that, you know, inside was were the penguins? How much did you want to take that with you?
If I could have Snow World at home, I would be using it. I really would. And there are other virtual reality approaches and software. Maybe I should just get myself a headset.
Yeah. Miles O'Brien, science, technology, aviation, space journalist, his piece on virtual reality as treatment for pain, but also maybe part of the search for blocking pain, aired on the PBS NewsHour. We'll link you at hearnow.org. Miles, thanks as always.
You are so welcome, Robin.
And a 2011 study from the military showed that Snow World, created by the University of Washington, helped soldiers with burn injuries from IEDs. In fact, Snow World worked better than morphine. The University of Louisiana uses this virtual reality to help people deal with phobias like fears of flying. Georgia Tech released something called the Virtual Vietnam VR in 1997 to help veterans with PTSD. Now Miles says it's blocked his chronic pain. Have you used it? Share your story at hearandnow.org.